Because it is time to make holiness sexy again. It's time. In fact, I think it's past time. Let's figure out how to do this right, shall we? We've got these contrasting images in our head. The first one is typically church folk or those other people, not here. I mean, look at you. None of this will apply to some of you. But if we look at it, holiness has kind of fallen on hard times these days. As a matter of fact, I have had so many younger leaders say to me, Martin, you're the only one I've ever heard talk about holiness in a positive perspective. I got to rethink it. Because all I've ever heard of holiness is not good. As a matter of fact, it's quite dreadful. And it's rule-based. And usually imposing on somebody else something that somebody else thinks you should do better. Yeah, that's not it. Going way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, there is this really cool thing that the law, as it's often called, starts off with this one. Moses, tell the people to be holy. For I, the Lord their God, am holy. I want the people to reflect my image. As a matter of fact, from antiquity, there's been this phrase, show me the lives of the people, and I'll show you their gods. Because the lives of the people reflect the very character of the God they say they worship. So let's figure out how to put two together in our cultural context. It's time to take holiness and reframe it, which we'll do a bit today, but not in some sort of dull or slightly updated perspective. It really is time to make it sexy again. So let's take a look at what we're getting rid of. Typically, the image of someone who's holy is they're always older. No matter how old you are, the holy people are always older. It's really true. I've talked to people who, in my mind, are old. They're not old enough yet. In their mind, it's always got a religious flair to it, but not a healthy one. There's a rigidity to the perspective. The people are stoic or, at best, incredibly serious. Holy people are always serious. And not a fun way either. They very seldom, when you think of someone who is a holy person, they're not a fashion trendsetter. I mean, think about it. When you think of them, you go, oh, the snappy dresser. Yeah, that's just not what pops in your head. Again, level of laughter and guilt almost always go together. It's like, never thought of it, but that, you're right. Yeah. And just, frankly, not the most fun people on the planet until after today. If we're going to make holiness sexy, beyond the obvious, what are we talking about? Well, since you ask, and you did, when we use this term, it's about appeal. There is something that there's an attractional quality to it. Please get that one clear, front and center in your head. When something is sexy, there's an attractional quality to it. Think about it. There's intrigue to it. There's, of course, an allure. It draws us in. It can draw us in a great way, though. It doesn't have to be a negative perspective in any way. It causes or stimulates desire. People go, that one fascinates me. I want to know more about that one. I want to see more. I want to know more. I want to experience more. Because it captures one's imagination. And the sense is, in sexy, if you like what you see, there's more.
Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory.
This is one of those classic passages in what's called the epistles, the letters, which Paul has written most of these. This is a classic Pauline passage of put something off and put something on. So compare and contrast. It goes back to put this off, put this on. So the first one, we're doing this mind series of updating and refreshing your mind. So this one is, as you start, put your mind. Other translations will say, set your heart, set your eyes. Where? Clearly on Christ. Put them right there. As the text says, keep seeking the things that are above. Verse 2 starts off with, set your mind. The passage we just read said, think about this. So many of your Bibles will say, set your mind on this. You want to update your view and others' view of you. It starts in your mind. How do you see yourself? Text is pretty clear. Set your eyes on Christ. Just know who you are in Him. It's what the passage is about. Our traditional view of this has been a very clear problem orientation. When I first started as a professor, I would have papers, always from young men. The women were always so much more insightful on this one, but the guys weren't. If they could ever get rid of the besetting issues of their life, then maybe God could use them. You could summarize so many of the papers I got early on in grad school by saying, if only I could clean up my act, then I'd be more effective, or then I'd have a holy life, and I just would write back and go, wrong answer, start over. It's not about cleaning up your life. What do you focus on? Because if you're always focusing on this thing, that's a problem. That's where you focus. Let's try this for just a minute. In the next 60 seconds, I do not want you to think about a white rabbit. Clearly, no white rabbits can you think about. You know, the kind of fluffy ones, their nose go up and down, their ears flop. You know the kind, those white, fluffy rabbits. Don't think about them at all. Because if you do, it'll distract you. You know the white ones. You've seen them. They're kind of cute, kind of annoying. They're the white ones. You've seen them, but just don't think about them. Get the picture. You focus on a problem. You center your whole life around your problem. Why don't you focus on what's coming next? What do you dream of? What do you want your life to be like? As you think in your mind, so are you. It's become so clear. So here's the picture I want to leave you with at this stage of the text. Picture your life in a way that reflects His holiness, but in a fun, appealing way. Not a dull, negative one. Some of you got to figure out how to have a fun life. That's your first step. And we have fun coaches here who can help you, because some of you will clearly need help. And for some of you, it'll be a good outlet for this thing that people told you you have too much of. We'll actually use it as a good thing. We'll baptize it and call it Christian. It could be good. We'll try it. We'll try it. Let's move on in the text.
So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us.
If we're going to put our eyes on Christ, set our heart, set our mind on Christ, the next thing is you got to get rid of the old junk. So put off the old stuff, whatever that stuff is. The passage has created sort of two categories. We love to create categories in our mind. The categories here are what we typically have called the sins of the flesh. Early on, I remember hearing sermons about the flesh, and I'm going, why is the flesh always bad? Like, great food and fun things are the good side of the flesh. Why don't we ever hear about that one? The categories we always create, sins of the flesh and sins of the tongue. Historically, the church has had two categories, hot sins, usually of sexuality, and cold sins, sins of the heart. So some of you are going, not a hot sin person. It's the one by the way, historically, that the church has disciplined. We've disciplined the hot sins of passion. And we've let the cold sins of the heart slip by the wayside.
If somebody's dreadful with their speech and their tongue, they're just not nice people. We say, she struggles with that. No, she doesn't struggle, she just does it. There's no struggle. Watch. Enjoys that streak. No. And notice the text puts them in the same category. Please notice. There's something, as the text actually says, kill the little suckers. Don't leave them around. Kill them. Put them to death, therefore, the text actually says. And be renewed from within, the text literally says, in your mind. Our kids have been around this weekend. Bo has flown in from L.A. and the girls are in. We've had some good times reflecting. Some early pictures and some other things. I still remember when I was young, farming, and I would be in a barn all day Saturday. I thought I was going to be a dairy farmer my whole life. For those of you who are new, I am, yes, I am a certified artificial inseminator of cattle. Looks really good on my wall beside my ordination. And I discovered early on gives me giant credibility in marriage counseling. So you figure that one out later. But I would be in the barn from 5 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, 14 hours with about 500 cattle. Everything about me smelled. So as soon as I left, I had a half hour before I would go meet Diana at 7:30 to start the date. Fortunately, I was close to home. I'd drive home, you'd peel off those coveralls and all the stuff stuck to it. And you'd go home, you'd use several kinds of shampoo, soap, etc. You wanted to get really clean. Now, what do you suppose I put on after I got really clean? The old clothes? Not if I wanted a second date. No. You put on your best. Folks, in Christ, you've been made clean. Why in the world would you ever go back to the old crap? Why? Makes no more sense than going and putting it on the worst stuff you've been wearing for way too long with all the crap of life stuck to it. Why would you ever go back and put it on? Doesn't make sense to anybody around you. So as we transition to the next part of the text, with a renewed, fresh heart, soul, mind, is there any leftover, any annoying human traits that either you or God are going, seriously, you've still kept them around? Then go after them. Go after them and update and literally leave them behind.
Since God chose you to be the holy ones he loves, you must clothe yourselves in tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
In classic historic Christianity, there is almost no behaviorism built into it. Whole lists of rules that typically religion has picked up on. Do this and don't do this. There's very few of those. Or if you do this really well, then I'll take care of you in this way. Almost none of that. Here is one of those places where there's a behavioral response in the aspect of forgiveness. God makes it so clear. You forgive, I forgive you. You don't forgive, don't even think about it. You're a forgiving person, I work with you. If you're not, come on. How can I forgive you if you won't forgive anybody else? So it's time to put on forgiveness. First of all, for yourself and for everybody else you encounter. I didn't make up this holiness thing. It's right here. As God's chosen, look at the text. Holy and dearly loved. Oh, that one will preach. That one will preach. See, this is how either God does see you or wants to see you. As one of his own, who represents him well. He loves you greatly. So, Since God has chosen us to be holy and dearly loved, let's get this one done so well. You've got His Spirit within you. Offer it. Receive it well. Offer it. Offer it in return. Now, as we go to the last part of this passage, let's get this one. I want you to fully embrace, or if you picture rather than embracing something, running towards something. Some of you just are more comfortable standing there with your arms open. Come on. Come on. Some of you are going, no, I want to be the one who runs after. So you picture this. What are you running towards? What are you welcoming? The Father of your soul who wants to offer you absolute forgiveness. And here's why. I am convinced this one, this aspect of forgiveness and freedom, may be one of the most attractional qualities of the church. Imagine for just a moment feeling free. Imagine for a moment feeling this empowerment to both love and be loved. Imagine for a moment this sense of no more shame, no more guilt. There's a freedom that comes with holiness that's so sexy. I hear it a lot. I have heard so many people go, this idea of being free from all my old junk seems like that's as good as it gets. Show me the way. Show me how to get there. Get it well. Pass it on even better. Let's look at how the passage wraps up.
Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father.
Final put on love. Starts at verse 14. Notice it clearly. Beyond all these other things, put on love. It's the one thing. It's the one thing that pulls us together. Put on love. Peaceful bond of unity. It's peaceful existence with Christ. It was John Wesley who said it so well. He said, when this happened to me, all I felt was perfect love for God and His people. Who doesn't want that? Come on, who doesn't want that? These final two in the text, the peace of Christ in verse 15 and the word of Christ in verse 16, these are the things that run in your head. Not fixing your problems, not getting past this thing, not addressing this one thing that seems to set you back. But when you get this one, here's what happens. Peace of Christ just dominates your life. And the word of Christ dwells within you. For the last several years, on an evening basis, when we put Diana to bed and pray with her and over her, almost every night, these are the passages we pray. God, beyond everything else you can and need to do for her, until what the best thing you have for her comes, we're going to pray the peace of Christ and the word of Christ in you. It's amazing what those do in the human experience. And again, who doesn't want this? When you go to sleep at night, instead of your mind not shutting down with all the stuff that could have, would have, should have happened, it's the peace of Christ dwelling in your hearts through faith and the word of Christ in your minds. Hard to beat that one, folks. Hard to beat that one. You have an insert in your bulletin. It's blue. I want you to spend a little time with this one today. My updated view of holiness in 5 words or less. For some of you, you could just go, me, sexy me. That's it. I mean, that's your life. There you go. One way I'm going to put my eyes, set my mind on Christ. What's that going to look like? So it's not an abstract concept and not exclusively a religious thing. 2 aspects of the old stuff, the old self, I'm going to leave behind for good. For good. 1 scenario, a person, a situation, an issue of my soul where I'm actually going to embrace forgiveness, whether I welcome it or run towards it. And then a specific prayer I will pray regularly in order to embrace the love and peace of Christ. Our services always end with prayer teams on the side who are welcome to pray something out of you or something into you. Take advantage of it today, please. I want to finish with a word picture, if I may. Here we go. A word picture. I'd planned on doing this, and then last week, a friend, Rob Reamer, was with us, and he gave us a word picture of a river. I planned to do one, except for some of you, where you grew up, you didn't always play beside a river. You had a stream or a creek or a crick, depending on where you're from. The analogy works. Here's how the picture works. We have, according to Jesus, this river that flows from the very heart of the Father straight into you. It's a clear picture, get it? From the very heart of the Father God, there's a river that flows straight into yours. And as Rob gave us the picture last week, he said, get in the river. Stay in the flow of the river. Get in and stay there. I want to give you a different picture that goes with it. You've played along those streams, rivers, creeks, cricks. If you're like a lot of us, you get a little bored, so you figure out, I wonder if we can dam this thing up. So you look around, you find some big rocks. And so sometimes your eyes, your ability and your mind's better than in reality, so you can't lift them, so you roll them and get them on the side. And then you find another one, and you take rocks, and you can take a wide flow of water and bring it down to just a trickle. You think, this is really cool, except it's become a picture of some of your lives. The river's flowing from the very heart of the Father to you. And you've allowed some leftover junk here and some leftover resentment and bitterness here. And you've taken something someone did or said and you've left it right here. And you've just taken a stubborn spirit and left it right here. And you've taken a wide flow of the very love of the Father and you've brought it down to just a trickle. It's not how holiness works. Your job's to remove it. The resentments, the bitterness, the leftover junk. To get rid of it so there's a wide flow that comes straight from the heart of the Father, straight into yours. So identify any of those things that need to be gotten rid of. Because who doesn't want to be free? Represent Him well, and don't ever forget, it's time to make holiness sexy again. Some of you already got it. It looks so good on you. I thought about emailing a bunch of you and say, just come and stand with me at the front. Say to the rest of people, see, this is what you get. The holy, sexy people. But then I was afraid I'd leave somebody out as if that would happen. Pray with me, please. Lord, we live in a world driven by images. There's some great ones. There's a few that are distracting, but there's some great ones. From this text this morning, will you leave us with an image that sticks? We want to be those kind of people. Your freedom. Freedom. So we do put our eyes straightly, directly on you. We deal with whatever stuff needs to be in the way. Get rid of it. Be your agents of your grace, your peace, your forgiveness, your freedom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we?